Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15, one verse. We're going to be in Proverbs quite a bit. We're going to look at a lot of verses. I'm going to ask you to turn to several of these. Proverbs 29, 15. We're going to speak on this subject tonight, correcting your children, correcting your children. Proverbs 29, verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself. There's a lot of children being left to themselves. It's just a fact. They're being left to themselves. And the Bible's true. They're shaming their mother. They're shaming their father. But the responsibility of that is the parent's responsibility. And we're going to help you with some things tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, please, the heart of the people. Make us tender to the Word of God. So much of what we teach in this area goes against what is being taught in the culture today. But boy, I wish we'd open our eyes and look around at the culture and what it's producing before we were to take a defensive position. Lord, let God be true and every man a liar. And Lord, help us to be Bible-believing and Bible-obeying Christians, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Bible, in this matter of correction, teaches us in this verse that correction has a purpose. It has a goal, okay? Why in the world would we reprove a child? Why do we correct a child? Why do we, if necessary, spank a child? The goal is wisdom. Now, I'm going to talk to the young people before I talk to parents, because, and I want you to, please, let me have your heart, every young person. I want you to look up here, listen to your preacher for a minute. I want to explain something to you, okay? Every time that your mom and dad tell you something to do, you have a choice that you have to make. Am I going to be wise? And by the way, let me tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is listening to a command and deciding in your heart, I'm going to cheerfully obey that command. That's wisdom. Wisdom listens to an authority, what they've commanded, what they've asked you to do, what they've told you to do, and I'm going to obey that with a good spirit. That's wisdom. Now, you can, every time your parents give you instruction, tell you something to do, you can exhibit wisdom. I don't care if you're 4 years old. You can be wise. I don't care if you're 6 years old. You can be wise. I don't care if you're a teenager. You can be wise. And so that's wisdom. Well, what in the Bible, how is foolishness defined? Foolishness is being put in the exact same situation, listening to your parents, have them give you a command, have them tell you something to do, and you willfully in your heart say, I am not going to do that. I'm just not going to obey. Or I'm going to drag this out and fight tooth and nail until they make me do it. Now, look up here, and I want to help all of you. I mean, all of you. And some of you are real small, and you have problems in this area. Some of you are older, and you still have problems in this area. And I'm going to just say something, okay? We're going to talk the very specifics about this. But if you're past third or fourth grade, and I mean this, and you're still having to get spankings, I would be utterly ashamed of myself. Matter of fact, if you're much past, listen to me, if you're much past 4 or 5 years old, and the only way your parents can get you to do something is to have to resort to spankings, I would be ashamed of myself if I was you. I mean it. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit, the next time that some of you have to get a spanking, I hope that He convicts your heart about it. Because I promise you this, your mom does not want to spank you. Your dad does not want to spank you. You know what they want? They want you to go from being foolish, where every time you're told something, your reaction is to well up in rebellion and say, I don't want to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. I'm going to argue with this. All they want to see is you to stop being foolish. The purpose is, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We all have a sin nature. Okay, listen, I'm a preacher, I feel that way sometimes. And so did I when I was your age. But you know what that's a result of? That's a result of the fact that we all have a sin nature. I mean, very rare will you ever find a kid that is always happy to be told what to do and happy to be corrected. Okay? It goes against our nature. So I could, but I want you to remember this. The next time, I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about tonight before you go to bed. And mom and dad tell you to do something, and you begin to feel that well up in you, I want you to stop and say, wait a minute. Am I going to act like a fool right now? Am I going to hold on to foolishness? Right now, God's looking down at me. Is he going to have to say, when is that kid going to stop being a fool? Will I ever be able to use him for anything? Say, preacher, why is this important? Because the Word of God is full of commands. And if every time you are commanded to do something, your initial reaction is, I shouldn't have to do that. Someone else ought to do that. That's not fair. Then that's the same reaction you're going to have to the Bible. And you know what? That is a foolish reaction. I mean, does anybody in here really think that God put the commands in the Bible just to make our lives miserable? Don't you know the character of God? Don't you know how much he loves you? Don't you know if he tells you not to do something, it's for your good and your benefit? Okay, then how foolish is it to fight against that? But we don't learn to fight against the Bible. You know what? We don't learn that as an adult. We develop that tendency as a child in how we deal with our parents' commands. Okay? And I mean this. I want to say it again. I think that for some of you children, you ought to make a decision tonight that, you know what? I'm not going to put my mom and dad anymore through this ordeal of having to spank me because I am just a fool. I'm going to turn the page on that. Watch this. It's time to grow up. Okay? It's time to take that off mom. Some of you are going to put your moms in an early grave. Some of your are causing your mom's tears that she should not have to weep. Frustration that she should not have to deal with. Okay? And I want to say it. That's wicked. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't even be here. She literally went to the jaws of death to bring you into this world. I'm not saying you always have to understand what she's asking you to do. I'm not even saying you always have to agree with what she's asking you to do. I'm saying, young men, you be man enough to get a hold of that rebellion and push it down. And say, you know what? If just for nothing else, the respect of my mother and all she's done for me, I am not going to keep causing her heartache in my life. And, you know, now parents, if we could get that done, almost everything else I have to teach you would honestly go away. Okay? I mean this. If you're past 5 or 6 years of age and you're still getting spankings, shame on you that you put your parents, listen, it's not them that's being bad. It's not them that's doing wrong. They don't want to do that. If they're going to be a Bible-believing, Bible-obeying Christians, they have to do it. But you should never again, I'm talking about some of you young men, ought to get to the altar at the invitation and say, I am not doing that to my mom and dad anymore. I love my mom and I respect my mom enough that when she asks me to do something, I'm going to learn to look at her and say, yes, ma'am, and push my rebellion out of the way and come over here and just make my mother a happy, joyful person. I don't know why my mom's so grumpy all the time. If I was your mother, I'd be grumpy all the time. You think she enjoys being grumpy all the time? She doesn't want to be that way. And you know what? I mean, it's a wicked shame when a child just decides I'm going to be a hurt to my mom and a hurt to my dad and always have to cause, you know, turmoil in our house and frustration in our house. And every one of you in here have the power with the Lord's help to turn that around tonight and change the environment of your home. It shouldn't be your mom and dad that has to surrender. They shouldn't surrender. It's your spirit that needs to surrender. And so I'd like to hear that there's some revival going on in some homes. It'd be super if I had some mom and dads come to me a couple weeks from now and say, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you what, you talked to the children the other night and they listened not only to you, they listened to God and His Word, and their whole attitude in our house has changed. And we're not fighting them all the time now. Matter of fact, they are being helpful. They are being a blessing. They've taken a bunch of pressure off my wife, off me, just by taking the initiative and not even waiting to be told what to do, but looking to do right." And I want to tell you that young people, the next time that you have to get a spanking, I hope that you're embarrassed by it. Are you listening? Would you be embarrassed if I was there watching it happen? Then why aren't you embarrassed when God's watching it happen? I mean it. I'd be ashamed of myself as a young man once I got past 6-7 years of age that I still had to be whipped in order to do what's right. Okay? I'd be ashamed if I was a young lady and I still on a regular basis had to be whipped in order to do what's right. I'd be ashamed of myself. But I am going to teach your parents the right thing to do. If you insist on being that way, then you know what? They have a right and they have an obligation to try to change that foolishness into wisdom by following the Bible formula. So now we're going to talk to the parents, but I hope that you kids will hang in there and listen too as we talk to them about this very important subject on correcting your children. We talked about the parental ladder, proper evaluation, pointed prayer, parental modeling, patient instruction, practical training, praise and reward. And then the last one is purposeful correction. And that's number 7 on purpose. You notice that's the last thing, the last resort for a mom. It's the last resort for a dad. You know what we want to do, your parents want to do? Patiently instruct you, okay? Give you the practical training, watch you be obedient and learn, and then praise and reward you and have a happy home. That's their goal. That's what they want. That makes for a wonderful house, a wonderful home. I mean, God gets all in that type of a situation. But you know what? You have to make the decision as a child. Okay, what kind of a atmosphere am I going to create in my home by my actions? Now, purposeful correction, parents, is the last resort. It's not the first resort. Let's be sure that we are doing these other things. Let's make sure that we are praying, pointed prayer. Let's make sure we're taking the time to teach and train. Okay, if you haven't taught the young person to do something and trained them how to do it, and then you get mad if they don't do it or don't know how to do it, then that's not a time to correct. That's a time to pick up on the training and teaching. And so make sure that we're doing things in order. But when your children are disobedient, and that sin nature will pop up every once in a while, when your children are disobedient, then the Bible teaches us that we should start with reproof. There's two R's here, reproof and the rod in this verse. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom. Now, always start with verbal reproof. This is how we wish for God to deal with us as Christians. If I'm doing something that displeases the Lord, He always seems to bring it to my attention through the instrument of His Word, either in my private devotions or in a sermon I'll listen to. A lot of times you're in here, and you know what? God will use His Word to reprove you in an area of your life. God's not up there with the rod hoping we'll mess up so He can chastise us. He would much rather use His Word and have us properly respond to His Word. Now, young men, young ladies, because of your sin nature, sometimes you're going to step over here into the arena of foolishness, and you're going to begin to have the wrong reaction, a disobedient reaction to a command. What your parents are to do at that point is to use verbal reproof to stop, get your attention, and say, "All right, you need to change your attitude right now, and you need to turn it around, and you need to obey with a cheerful spirit." Now, if they reprove you, right now you got to make a choice. All right? Am I going to accept the correction? Am I going to lay my pride aside and accept the correction? Yes, sir. Change my attitude and go back over here to the arena of wisdom and be wise. Okay? Now, we always start with reproof. And that's very important. You see, young people, how you begin to respond to verbal reproof, again, is setting the stage of your life. Because the word is what reproves us. And if you won't listen to your mom, listen to me, you're not going to listen to God. If you're not listening to your dad, you're not going to listen to God. Because it's God that told you, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're, by disobeying your mom, you're disobeying God. By disobeying your dad, you're disobeying God. And so right away, God gives you an opportunity to go to the arena of wisdom. And I need to really stop here a minute. I know that the best of the best of the best kids here sometimes get over on the wrong side of things. Trust me, okay? And that don't make you a bad kid. But I want to tell you this. I watch the children of this church, and I have the greatest admiration for children in this church that I see have the right spirit towards the idea of correction. I watch their mom correct them, and you know what? They're human. They may not like it, but they've learned, yes, ma'am. And they put their pride aside, and I'm going to tell you something, whether you realize it or not, God notices those things. There's so much of what you're going to have in life and experience in life and the blessings of God in life is being determined right now when you're a little child of what God's going to be able to do with you. Because I think God looks down and says, if they won't obey their mom and dad, how can I trust them to obey me one of these days? And so I want to say this. Parents, you're doing a good job. Oh, but preacher, sometimes. I know it. But no kid's perfect. But here, when you get over here, young people, and they use verbal correction, then you come over back over to the arena of wisdom and respond correctly. And you know what? You don't ever have to worry about a spanking. That's why I tell parents, let's do it the right way. Okay? When they mess up, you don't snatch them up. You always talk to them first. You always talk to them. By the way, the wrath of man does not accomplish the will of God. There's the right way to talk to them. And you know, parents, let's not just lose our temper all the time, okay? And I mean that. Let's be in control, but at the same time, let's get their attention. And by the way, when your parents are being stern with you, that doesn't mean they've lost their temper. They ought to be stern. There's a lot of this book right here that's pretty stern. I mean, God doesn't, you know, tiptoe through the tulips on some things. He'll just flat out say, thou shalt not, which means you better not. Okay, and so, but when they have to take verbal reproof with you, and they have to get your attention verbally, you ought to immediately respect them, respect their position, and say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Walk over here in the arena of wisdom and say, you know what? My mom and dad gave me a clear command. The Bible's given me a clear command about what I'm supposed to do about that, and I'm going to please my parents, and I'm going to please the Lord. And when you do that, begin to do that on a regular basis, let me tell you something, children, you may not understand it, but the Bible says even a child is known by his doings, which means this entire church begins to admire you. Other adults begin to admire you. Your pastor begins to really admire you. I mean, you gain a lot of respect from adult people by saying, wow, I like it when I hear this every once in a while. That's a really good kid. And that's being said by somebody that's not their kid. You know, I've watched that little girl, and I watch the way she reacts to her parents, and that's a good girl. You ought to want that kind of a reputation. Okay, do you really want the reputation of that's just a kid that constantly battles his parents and constantly rebels against his parents and constantly has to be whooped in order to be made to do right? I'd be ashamed of myself. And if you have that reputation, you can change it tonight. Now, you might not change everybody's mind overnight, but you can begin the process of changing your entire reputation. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. I've watched, they're not here, so I'm going to use them, okay? But I've watched some kids start out struggling. Parents, don't give up. When Jonathan and Alyssa Reiser had Faith, you know how sweet Faith is? I mean, I know she's just a kid, but she's a good kid. She didn't used to be a good kid. I watched her when she was like 2 and 3 and 4, and I thought, a legion of demons has entered that child. I have had Alyssa and Jonathan in my office, tears running down their face. What are we going to do with this girl? And you know what? Let me tell you all that happened. There was a day when the Holy Spirit convicted her of that. And she said, that's wrong. What I'm doing, I want you to listen to me. Because you can change with God's help. At some point, and it happened early on. By the way, they kept doing the right thing. They kept doing what I'm going to teach you parents to do here. You've got to be consistent. You've got to stay with it. You can't surrender to the foolishness. But at some point, she made the decision. It's wrong to keep putting my mom through this. It's wrong to keep putting my dad through this. You know what? I'm not pleasing the Lord. And at some point, early on, I saw a change in that girl. And she went from having a reputation of a kid that was just a holy terror. I'm not kidding you. This girl was a stink pot. I'm not sure what a stink pot is, but she was one. And all of a sudden, I began to notice something. You know what? Her and her mom, there was a real closeness with them. She changed her attitude towards her mother. She changed her attitude towards her dad. All of a sudden, there was a closeness and a relationship that mom and dad always wanted to have. By the way, God wants to have that relationship with me, and he wants to have that relationship with you. You think God enjoys chastising his children? You don't think he'd rather just look down and say, oh, they are a blessing. Every time I ask anything of them, they just do it cheerfully. Don't you think that brings God such pleasure? I don't want to be this kid when it comes to my relationship with God, because when it comes to me and God, I'm still a child. I'm a child of God. That's what we say, isn't it? That we're children of God. I'm a child of God. And every day of my life, I could be, if I wanted to, as a born-again Christian, I could be this type of a person, and God just have to every day say, why don't they just do right? Why don't they just obey? Why don't they just change their attitude? It's not, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and I just, you know, you hear your preacher come up here and say, why don't we just do right? Just do right. It's not rocket science. But we have to take that pride and we have to set it aside. And you know what? I watched this girl switch over here. And I don't mean when she was a teenager. I mean early on. She began to change her attitude towards her mom, change her attitude. By the way, parents were praying. Listen, parents. They were patient in their instruction. They were consistent in their training. And they were consistent in praise and reward. But they also were consistent in purposeful correction, which means there are lines and there are consequences. And as long as you keep crossing that line, consistently you're going to have to deal with the consequences. And I don't know, a combination of all of those things brought this girl over. And honestly, by the time she got into kindergarten, first grade, I just began to see a change in her and a sweetness in her. And something else happened during that time. She got saved. Okay? And you know what, parents? It does make a difference in a child after they've been saved. Before a child is saved, you're trying to deal with somebody that doesn't have a reborn spirit. I mean, and they don't have the Holy Spirit in there to help and assist. And young, you must talk to our teenagers for a minute and listen. And I don't pretend to be God. And you know, you and God know this. But that's why when I see all the way at 14, 15, and 16, it's still, I just think to myself, have you really been saved? I mean, you know, I'm not the one to decide that. I'm not going to be sitting on the throne at the judgment seat. I understand that's not my place. But at some point, you got to say to yourself, is the real problem with learning to just obey the commands and obey the Bible, is the real problem that I've just never been born again? I don't have a reborn spirit. I don't have the Holy Spirit assisting me. I don't have the Holy Spirit helping me. And so, in this matter of correction, let's always start with verbal instruction. Let me read a few verses because I'm going to read a lot and then we're going to turn to some. But listen to these verses on this matter of reproof and accepting verbal reproof. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. I mean, when somebody reproves you, you have to correct you, and you just, I mean, it starts inside of you, and just everything inside of you hates to be told by anybody that you're wrong. The Bible says you're brutish. You know, that if you study that word out, it is literally talking about almost being subhuman. You're like an animal that has to have a bridle. You're like an animal that has to have a whip. You're living beyond your crowned position as God's unique creation. Okay? And then Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Regard it. Listen to it. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof, this is something, shall die. Did you think about that? You know what? Does that mean when you hate reproof that you'll flop over dead? I think that if you don't lose that spirit, I think opportunities that God had for you dies. And I do think that that literally also means there may come a point in time where God just says, enough. All right? They're not here tonight, so I won't embarrass them. But I had parents just come to me the last couple weeks, and they brought a little boy. And I love this family, and I love this boy. But this boy has a terrible, willful, stubborn, rebellious, disobedient spirit to his parents most of the time. And he's only about like this. I brought him in my office. I've talked with him. I've prayed with him. I've instructed him. I've put rewards out for him. And you know what? They're not winning it. He's still, they said, wait, last till we get out of the parking lot. So they brought him to me. And I want you young people, you better listen to what the preacher said. They brought him back to me. And I mean, I've been dealing with this for months now. And he was standing in front of me, and I took my hand and put it on both sides of his head, and I tilted his head up. And I think he loves me, and I think he knows that I love him. But I told him, I called him by name, and I said, I want you to understand something. If you will not obey your mom and dad, and you refuse the earthly authority that God has put into your life, God very well might just kind of say, okay, step out of the way and let me deal directly with this child. And I told him, you know what? I don't want to get a call from the hospital. I don't want to get a call from your parents weeping as they're trying to get up to Riley. I don't want to get a call from a funeral home and a funeral director. Okay? Well, God, you go ahead. Say it out loud. No, say it out loud. I dare you. Say it out loud. Dare God. Because you know what you're going to find out? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And if you think nothing can change me, nothing can make me, you're putting yourself in a scary situation. Because God may just very well say, Mom, Dad, it's not working. They're not listening. Step out of the way. I'll deal directly with that child. And you know what? Aren't you glad God's merciful? If I'm a parent right now, I would pray that God would be merciful. But you know what? I think that God loves you enough to chastise you, loves you enough to correct you. See, he only wants one thing. Can I get this to your heart? All God wants is you to surrender, to stop being this and just come over and say, this takes some humility. Come on. You know what, Lord? You gave me good parents. They're not perfect, but they're good parents and they love me. And I'm done making their lives miserable. I'm going to change. I'm going to start being a blessing to my mom. I'm going to start being a blessing to my dad. And when God sees that, I don't know if you can understand, the heart of God looks at that, and all of a sudden there is an endearment. And all the things that maybe God has been holding back in blessings and rewards, now he can say, oh, I get to give it to them. I can start making plans for the future, and I can use them, and I can man, their potential is just unmeasured now. And God's entire plan for your life that he's always wanted can all of a sudden now start being accomplished. And yet, I could introduce you to 20-somethings that are still 30-somethings. Isn't this pathetic? Now, come on. I'd be ashamed of myself if I was an adult Christian in my 20s and 30s, and I still can't open this book and with a sweet spirit obey what it says. Good night. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to live that kind of a life. And so we want to start with verbal instruction because God tests us with verbal instruction. Okay, preacher, if verbal reproof is ignored, then what do we do next? What do we do as a parent? We have corrected them. We have warned them verbally, and they just will not obey. Well, the Bible says the rod and reproof giveth wisdom. Now, if verbal punishment is ignored, then as a parent, you have a Bible obligation to administer what is known as corporal punishment. By that, I mean a spanking. I'm a Bible-believing fundamental preacher. I'm also a Bible-believing fundamental parent. And I happen to believe that God knows more about child rearing than the afternoon TV talk host hosts who condemn proper scriptural corporal punishment, condemn it as child abuse. I mean, if you consider the fact that most of these Hollywood hosts who consider them child experts are actively involved in adultery, fornication, homosexuality, it shouldn't surprise you that they're against you removing foolishness from your child. Okay? So, all right, preacher, when do I do this? All right? The purpose for spanking a child is to drive out foolishness, not eliminate simplicity. Now, let me have you go to Proverbs 22 and verse number 15. We're going to go through the correction verses in Proverbs and take a good look at them and give you some good Bible instruction now. Preacher, when is it the right time to administer a spanking? The purpose for spanking a child is to drive out foolishness, not eliminate simplicity. Now, listen to what I just said. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So when I see a kid, all right, here they're born simple, and you teach them through practical teaching, verbal instruction, and practical training, you teach them and give them the tool set and the ability to react wisely. They didn't start over here. So we have to instruct them, okay? If you're trying to tell them something to do and they're not doing it, but you've never trained and taught them to do it, then it's not right to spank them. I mean, spank yourself, but don't spank them, because it's not their shortcomings, it's your shortcoming. So we take the time to train, we take the time to teach. If you're going to give a child a chore, make sure that you have personally trained them to do it. They've watched you do it, you've helped them do it, then you back off and watch them do it. Then you watch them do it again, you watch them to do it again, you watch them do it again. Okay, you know what to do, you know how to do it. Now that child is in a position to react wisely to the command to do that chore. Okay, if they aren't being taught and trained, well, they should know. Well, did you? Okay, they're not born with knowledge. Training and instruction is very important. I'm not talking about just one-time parents. Training and instruction to the point where here's how you train people. I don't care if it's in the military. I don't care if it's on the job site. I don't care if it's rearing children. Watch me do it. Let me help you do it. Now let me watch you do it. And then I'll give you instruction and correction while you're doing it until you get it right. And by the way, kids, when your parents are teaching you how and what to do it and how to do it, why to do it, it's not your job to say, but I think it'd be better if I just listen and do it exactly the way they said. And when you get proficient on that, then they can look at you and say, hey, I need you to do that. All of a sudden now you have the responsibility and the skill set to do something. And so they've taught you, they've trained you, and now they give you the opportunity to do it, and they trust you to do it. Man, here's a great opportunity. Change your viewpoint of that. Oh, I can't believe they're making me. They're not torturing. They're giving you a responsibility that ought to be a compliment that they're trusting you in that area concerning your maturity. Okay? So now you've been trained, taught how to do it, and they ask you to do it. Now you have the opportunity to use wisdom, do it. And by the way, parents, if they do it to the best of their ability, then there ought to be praise and reward right away. Okay? Now, if they need to be tweaked a little bit and say, okay, you did a great job. There's so many ways to correct kids. Listen, if they've done it 98% right, don't come over there and scream about the 2%. Praise the 98%. I don't know if I get anything 98% right in my life. Do you? I mean, if I do, that's a good day. All right? I'm not in danger of breaking 100. All right? So give the praise, give the reward, and make sure that they're being, you know, that they're being properly encouraged in their obedience. But if that old sin nature swells up and they've been taught and they know how, but they just decide that day they don't want to do it, and you verbally correct them and they still insist on being disobedient, then young people, according to God's word, you know what? They don't have a choice, because it's honestly at that point not their choice. It's your choice. And you chose a spanking, because you are acting foolish. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What will drive it far from them? Okay. The rod will draw it far from there. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so that's when we know. Be careful that you're not, parents, I'm telling you this, be careful that you're not disciplining and spanking because of simplicity. If you have been lazy in your training and lazy in your teaching, and you haven't equipped that child to be able to know how to obey something you're asking, then you get mad that they don't do it. That is not their issue. That is your shortcoming, and they shouldn't be spanked for that. You see, if I notice that a kid is trying, but he just isn't getting it, it's not time to scream, holler, give verbal. It's time to retrain. Here, let's start over again. I'm going to do it. And I want you to watch me. And by the way, do it with the right spirit. If you're like, this is stupid, I'm going to show you one more time. Let me tell you something. That kid is not even hearing. And you know why? Because all they know is they're mad at me. They're mad at me. They're displeased with me. They're mad at me. I'm telling you. Now watch me this time. And they are trying to, but they can't think, because all they feel is your anger. That's why when I say patient instruction, I mean patient instruction. Okay, obviously, listen, I see you're trying and I see you're frustrated. Let's back up. I'm going to start over again, okay? And listen, I'm not upset with you, but I want you to really watch this time. If you got questions, I want you to ask. All right, step one, this is what we're going to do. Now you've watched me. Now we're going to do it together, okay? So what was step one? Oh, I can't remember. All right, let's write it down then. You know, I've started jobs that way as an adult, where I'm given a multitask thing and all of a sudden I stop in the middle of it and say, okay, you're losing me. Let's go back and let me just take some notes. Some kids mentally can multitask. Some kids mentally cannot multitask. They have to focus. You got to learn your kids. Okay? Set them up for success. Make sure that they're equipped to do the job and to be able to succeed at it. That takes patience on your part, okay? But once kids, that process has been done and you've proved you can, then they have every right, your mom and dad, to have the expectation that you're going to do it, and with the right spirit, okay? And so, all right, so make sure it's not eliminating simplicity. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. All right, preacher, the problem isn't simplicity. They know exactly what to do. We've taught them. We've trained them. They've done it before. I know they know how to do it. I've seen them do it before. But this particular day, they've just decided they're going to not obey. They shouldn't have to do it. They're not going to do it. Now what? Okay, now Proverbs chapter 3. In this matter of spanking, a spanking should be a spiritual lesson that allows the child to understand the character of God. Let me say that again. A spanking should be a spiritual lesson that allows the child to understand the character of God. Preacher, what is the character of God? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, young people, let me explain why your mom and dad's correcting you. Why don't they just let it go? Why don't they just let you win? By the way, by letting you win, they cause you to lose. You don't win by not doing something. You just lost. Because you see, your dad and your mom understand, because they're older and they are into real life, that if you won't learn to do simple things with the right spirit as a child, you have almost no chance of being a success in anything in life. See, your mom is insistent that you don't skip step number three, because one of these days, son, you're going to have a job that if you skip number three, it's going to get you fired or cause somebody hurt. Okay? And so, well, I just don't know why they just insist on, I kind of want to do it this way. Stop wanting to do it your way. Get a teachable spirit and learn to do it the way you're being instructed to do it. Well, I've got some adult men that need to hear that. Stop going into the job place, treating your boss like he's an idiot. You know, he only started the entire place, started the business, and he's obviously a success. But he hired you, and you're on the bottom rung of the ladder, but you're there to tell him a better way to do it. Just shut up and say, yes, sir. By the way, sir, if you can't do that, maybe that's why your kids are having trouble doing that. Shut up. I'm sorry, I've got little children that every time I say shut up, they look over at their parents like, not supposed to say that. Sorry. Sometimes preacher is bad sometimes. Zip the lip. I mean it. You know why I've never had a problem keeping a job, getting a job? I don't care how much I know. I don't care if I show up on a job and I know more about the job than everybody else. You know what I do when I get hired? Yes, sir, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Show me. All right. That's the way you want it done? Okay. And you know what I do? I roll up my sleeves and I get busy. See, here's the thing. But what if I got a good idea? Earn the right to give it. That takes about 6 months of zipping the lip and just doing it. And then once you've gained the respect of the boss, then you can say, hey, can I bounce something off you? And, you know, hey, no big deal. I'll do whatever way you want to do it. You know, I mean, you pay me, thank you. You know why some guys succeed in business and they get promoted? Oh, they're just lucky. No, it's because they stopped doing this when they were 4, 5, or 6. They got the right attitude with mom and dad. I may not always understand, but you know what? God put them in my life, and they're, you know what? If they say to do it a certain way, I'm going to do it a certain way, and I'm going to like it and have a good attitude about it. And, you know, the guy's paying me. Write me a check. He's got me for so many hours. I don't care how he wants me to spend them. I'll make him happy. He's writing me a check. What's the big deal? You got, how many weeks are you going to go without a check before you lose your pride? And just zip the lip. Parents, give me that. Don't train them that's a bad thing to say. Okay, I got to have something. Zip the lip. And just do it. You know what? If everybody, guys, wherever you work, if everybody came in with that attitude, work would be great. There's more drama. Listen, ladies, I'm going to tell you something. We talk about ladies and drama. There's more drama in the average guy job place than all the women in Greene County put together. I'm telling you the truth. There's a certain percentage of guys that just need the drama. I call them drama mamas. I mean, they just get, why can't you just show up, listen, figure out what the boss wants, do it, and at the end of the week, get your paycheck? What's difficult about that? All right. So, where am I? It's a spiritual lesson. See, the Lord loveth he correcteth. See, why is mom so on me to make sure I'm doing things? Because she loves you. Because she delights in you, just like the Lord does. She loves you, and she knows if he or she can move from here to here, they're going to have a great life. They're going to have a successful life. I mean, God can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. But if I can't, if we spend 18 years and we can't move them from here to here because they just won't, I still love them. But they are going to have a horrible life. Believe me, don't believe me. I got it. You know what? You're 14, 18, whatever, you know it all. I get it. But I promise you, you go into life with the same rebellious attitude you've had towards your mom and dad, and you launch out into life with that. I'm sorry, but listen to this. At that point, don't ask me for pity, because I don't feel sorry for you. You get and deserve everything coming to you. Some of you get mad because I say, pop the popcorn, it'll be a good show. But pop the popcorn, it'll be a good show. I'm sorry, at that point, you need to be hit with a 2x4. You need life to hit you right across the head. You need fired. You need to be down to nothing. And God's well capable of taking you down. Why have to spend your 20s and your 30s just beating your head against a wall, being a utter failure in everything that you try, because you're still not going to give up this? You know, it's craziness. Man, get over here where the blessings are. Get the right spirit. A spanking should always be motivated by love. We read in this portion of Scripture, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Proverbs 13, let's go there. Proverbs 13, verse number 24. I saw this on tape, what I'm going to share this with you. I don't watch the show. I watched it on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube today. I saw it myself. Oprah Winfrey is having one of her, you know, shows. She's discussing child rearing as if Oprah Winfrey has any right to be discussing anything. Okay, she's lived in an adulterous situation. She has no moral compass. She's a heathen and a pervert, and yet you're going to listen to her on how to raise children. That's insane to me. You'll come and open the Bible and look at the same verses I do and go home and criticize what Pastor Jerry believes. Your problem's not with me. You better get this book open and understand it's still true. Nothing's changed. But she was talking about child rearing, and she was talking about spanking a child, and the more that she talked about it with this expert, the more angry she got. How in the world can parents look at their children and say, I love you, and then grab them and put them over their knee and slap their bottom and hit them. And then she looked right at the camera, and she forgot the expert. She looked right at the camera, pointed her finger. If you do that, don't ever tell me you love your children. Now, I'm paraphrasing some things, but that's basically what she said. Okay, that's her opinion. We have Oprah's opinion. Aren't we blessed? Proverbs 13, verse 24. Look at verse number 24 of Proverbs 13. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to stick my finger in the camera and say something. If you don't spank your child, don't you tell me you love them. Because that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. The rod of correction is what will move them over here. I'm not going to use the rod of correction. We don't believe in spanking. Then the foolishness will still be bound in your child when they are 6 and when they are 16 and when they're 26 and when, until God beats it out of them. Or the reproofs of life beat it out of them. But they're going to get a beating one way or another. Now, parents, let me help you with this. The Bible says that if you love him, you'll chasten him betimes. Betimes, that word, look it up. You can look it up the same way I did. It means early. Early in life. Listen, you're going to win most of the battles before they're 2-3 years old. Oh, I just don't believe in spanking a kid that. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. Okay, at that age, they still can understand what no means. And if they are throwing a tantrum and screaming at you and refusing to obey and you're surrendering to it at 2 or 3 and 4, Don't come later on to me in the office and sit down and say, "Preacher, what do we do?" Be times. You win it early. That's why I'm saying, kids, by the time you're 5, 4, 5, 6 years old, this ought to be, spankings ought to be rare after that, if ever needed. And if they are needed, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't know what kids get what. Your parents don't turn in a spanking report to the preacher. So as far as I know, you're all angels and none of you have gotten a spanking in years. I also believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. But there's no doubt that some young ladies, and listen, I'm not trying to beat up on you, but I'm trying to get you, come on. You're getting spanking every week of your life. Some of you are getting spanking almost every day of your life. I have so little respect for that. Because your parents, their days are filled with heartache. Your mom deserves better than that. And you know what? All you got to do is just step over here. Change your attitude. And let them be a blessing. Listen, you don't know everything. When they start to try to correct you and teach you the right way or a different way to do it, zip it. Listen. Have the right spirit. Be wise. That's all there is to it. Okay? But the reason your parents are doing it is because they love you. Okay? Let me tell you what the consequences of foolishness are. Well, I like the way I am, and that's just the way I am, and I'm holding on to this. I'm going to be that way. Okay, I'm going to tell you what your future is. All right, Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You have destruction waiting for you as a fool. Proverbs 3:35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Destruction and shame is waiting for you. Proverbs 7:22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Constant correction is waiting for you in life. Even if it means the stocks. Go visit the jails. You got adult men that are still. Okay, and they're just going to do it until somebody locks them in a box somewhere. You know? Well, I'm sick of mom and dad telling me what to do. So I turn 18, I'm going to go join the Marines. That is brilliant. Should I not use the Marines? I was trying to think of the baddest dudes out there. Come on now. You know, join the Air Force. You won't be told what. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That was for Brother Castle. I've literally heard young people make that, okay, I'm sick of, think of what you just said. Sick of the rules at Blessed Hope. Oh, there won't be any rules in the military. You'll be good. Sick of people telling me what to do. You think we're mean? You've never met a drill sergeant. What is wrong with us? Okay, why don't we just move on over here? Parents, spanking should be done early, B times. Number 5, spanking properly administered. I want to say this because I can't end without saying this. It's important that I say this. A spanking properly administered will never threaten the child's health or life. Look at Proverbs 23, verse number 13. Proverbs 23, verse number 13. Proverbs 23, 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, what that is saying is don't withhold it, because if you're doing it correctly, he's not in any danger. Okay? Now, that's why, and by the way, the word in this, did you notice that word? For if thou beatest him. You think that the media uses the hot button words on purpose that correlate with the King James Holy Bible? Well, they beat their kid. You know, Adrian Peterson beat his child. You can feel about that any way you want to. The kid was probably being a little devil. Yeah, but preach, I'm going to say something. You get mad at me if you want to. But he left marks. You never met my grandma. I mean, my daddy, when he walked in the room and we were disobeying and he went like this, there were some marks going to be left. Okay? But those marks were in on my face or on my back or on my arms, because my dad knew how to properly spank. Now, I said this the other day, but God has created the anatomy of a child so that there is a specific location that has an excessive amount of extra fat and meat that you can pound on pretty good, and they are in no danger of dying. Now, they're going to sound like they're dying. Preacher, I can't believe it's 2017 and you are telling the young adults, yes, 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 yes. Stop letting that little girl run your house. Stop letting that little terrorist boy keep your entire family in turmoil. Okay, that's not right. And by the way, young people, they shouldn't have to do anything different. Because remember what you're going to do when you get home if you have wisdom? My mom loves me. My dad loves me. They don't want to do this, and it doesn't make them happy. And look what it's doing to my mama's heart. Look what it's doing to my dad. It's time to stop that. Move on over. Correct your behavior. I promise you, your parents will be thrilled. Be thrilled. Okay? Tears of repentance are the desired effect of spanking. Have you look at one more verse here? Proverbs 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth into a... Well, that's not it. Proverbs 19, 18. 19, 18. Proverbs 19, 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Okay? Now, the proper, what you need to try to get to, parents, why am I spanking this child? Preacher, how hard should I spank them? Hard enough so that it hurts, but not hard enough to cause any kind of damage. And I mean that. You need to use wisdom. You need to be careful. But like I said, if you're not spanking them, I've watched moms, listen to me. I've watched you grab the kid and just swat them and put about a half-hearted effort into them, and all they do is get mad. If you've spanked a child and you swatted them and all you've accomplished is more of this, then that foolishness wasn't driven out of them. Okay? Well, preacher, how many spankings or how long should a spanking go? I don't know. How long will it take for you to repent? Don't spare because of their crying. I hear parents say this. Well, they're being disobedient, so I go to give them a spanking, then they start crying, so I don't spank them. Okay, you're being played. When you decide not to, how long does it take for that crying to stop? You're laughing because you've done that. I know. My dad's kind of like, well, he's already crying. I might as well join the party. Might as well make sure it's real. Same family, different children. Some kids are very tender-hearted. You don't have to spank them that much. By the way, I should say it this way. Some children are wiser, so you don't have to spank them that much. Some of them are more determined to hold on to their foolishness. You may have to spank them more. Again, kids, stop being that way. Come on over here. You know what dad wants to do when he comes home? Play with you. Eat supper with you. Laugh. Have a good time. I don't know why my dad's so stern. I do. You're not giving him any other choice. I think you'd be pleased to meet the parents that they want to be. But you got to move on over. All of the oldest kids in this room, listen to me. You're setting an example for all the younger ones. Sorry, you don't get to wiggle out of the responsibility of that. When I say some of the older children, I'm not just talking about the oldest one. The older ones in the family, the younger ones are watching you. Are they watching wisdom? Or are they being trained by their siblings? Shame on you. Shame on you. Everything that little brother and sister is going to suffer in life, you're going to be partially responsible for. Shame on you. Older brothers and sisters ought to be setting this example. And when necessary, coming over after mom and dad's done and saying, listen, buddy, I know it's hard, but you need to change your heart. Watch me. Get the right spirit. Mom and dad love you. Come on, siblings. You can help in this. Mom and dad love you. They're not against you. I struggled some too. But you know what? They're just trying to get you ready for real life. They want you to have a tender heart so that you can be a good Christian. They want you to be blessed in life. And so I'm going to pray that the whole family gets together on this. I mean, all our families get together on this. I know you're going to have tough times. I know parents, you're going to go through this and say, preacher, I'm following all of this, and it just seems like it's not working. Be consistent. And just, you know what? Trust the scriptures. Be consistent. And I think you'll start seeing some miracles. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use the instruction tonight to, yes, we want to be a blessing to the parents and make sure that they are reminded of what the Bible says. But Lord, my heart tonight was to try to touch the hearts of our young people. There's so many good things, so many blessings, so much joy and happiness that come into the life of a young person that just decides to be wise. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help individually children that are struggling in this area of their life to get on their knees and ask you for help and go home and give their mom and dad the greatest gift that any child can give a parent, and that is the gift of cheerful obedience. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help the parents to have wisdom. Lord, we need wisdom. We need to do the right way, things with the right spirit ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that you'll take this instruction and help us. We pray in Jesus' name.